Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We're going to look at trust and inspire. I'm going to read some stuff to you. We are going to get started. But first, I want you to give me, Tim, Jeremiah chapter 5, the foundational verses we've been looking at. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man. Well, let's go ahead and read it. Everybody, let's read this together. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. So I like that last part. See that? For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. That's speaking of the river of life. When we are in touch with the river of life, which has to do with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. When you're in touch with the Holy Spirit and you are grounded and rooted in the love of God, your roots are so deep in integrity and in the love of God. Whenever you face a trial, whenever you face problems, you're going to show them your God is credible and your God will take care of you. Are you listening to me? But you have to be grounded and rooted in the love of God to produce the fruit he's trying to give to the world. Am I making sense? Okay. So he says, cursed is the man whose trust is in man. The word cursed is the word anathema, which means not fit to be on the face of the earth. So when we trust in man, that's not fit to be on the face of the earth to advance anything God is doing. You see that? Because you can't do it trusting in yourself. And that's what we need to understand. And then he says, you won't even see when good comes when you trust in man, because your heart has departed from God. Remember, I talked about vision the last time I was here. You won't be able to see. Your vision will be impaired. You won't even be able to see God's hand when it's right there on your end of your nose. You see this? So this is why we want to trust in the Lord. When our trust is in Him, then now something's going on in our life. And when our trust is in Him, we can inspire others. And that's what happens in the church. The trust is going to increase and the inspiration is going to increase. So we can be your potential, your purpose, and everything will come out of you in the church. So you can be it to the world. So now, think about this. So today, we're talking about humility, humble. We need to be humble if we are going to fulfill God's will in our life. And God honors people who are humble. You weren't born with humility. It has to be developed. It has to be developed. And that's why we need the church. Humility is developed in the church. We need people challenging us and really getting on our last one sometimes. So we become more dependent on God. And that's what being humble is, being dependent on God and putting others before yourself. Humble is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Did you hear me? And so God gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And grace is what we need for salvation. Are you hearing me? We need God's grace. And that's what He fills you up with when you're humble. But when you're full of pride, He resists the proud. You see that? When you try to do it yourself, He resists the proud. God does. Let me read this to you. Hang with me. Humility is a foundational virtue for all other virtues because it acknowledges that principles govern. Principles govern. That's why it says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. In all you're getting, get understanding. We need principles from God. We need God's principles in order to engage with everything He has for us. You see that? If you don't have His principles established in your life, you're just like I was talking about, you'll lose heart. And that means you've lost your vision and you're wandering away from God. You need His principles in place to have Him giving you protection over your life. If He can't correct you, see, that's what principles do. They correct you. If there's no correction, there's no protection. If there's no correction, there's no protection. And God will correct you. Let's look at this. Humility is the foundational virtue for all other virtues because it acknowledges that principles govern. Now look, the opposite of humility is arrogance, ego, and pride. These teach us that we are in charge. Remember, we talked about we're cultivating a culture of trust and inspire, not command and control. See, people want to be led, not controlled. People want to be led, not controlled. I don't want to be controlled, and you don't want to be controlled. Donita will tell me, "You're not the boss of me." I'll say, "You're not the boss of me." See, she's already laughing. I don't want to be the boss of her. She doesn't want to be the boss of me. We want God in the center. He's our boss, right? He's our Lord. So if I yield to Him and we do things His way, you get paradise. Am I making sense? That's huge right there. Now, so what happens when arrogance, ego, and pride, they teach us that we are in charge, we'll put ego above principles. Ego stands for edging God out. You're not putting God in the equation. So some people have big egos. Ever been around that? We don't like being around people who have big egos. All right. In contrast, humility teaches us that we should understand and live by principles. Listen, live by principles, elevating service above self-interest. See, that's what principles do. Principles elevate service. They elevate service above self-interest. Did you catch that? So to serve is a big deal in the kingdom of God. We want to make sure we're serving people. Serving people, man, it helps you in so many ways you can't even imagine. It takes humility to serve people. Now look, we cannot progress if we lack humility. Humility is the first step towards growth. It takes great strength to be able to admit that you failed and to apologize. To say, "I'm sorry." We need to do more of that, don't we? Humility is widely misunderstood today. It is often seen as weak, soft, timid, and passive. The opposite of what real leadership is. You listen? Humility is enormously strong, firm, courageous, active, the very essence of leadership. A humble person is more concerned about what is right than being right. Did you hear me? A humble person is more concerned about what is right than being right. You see that? And that's what Donita and I try to practice at home. We don't want to practice. We're not always out to prove who's right. You see, if you do that, you're going to get strife going in the house. We're more concerned with what is right. Sometimes you just need to hush up and do what's right. Making sense? Okay. Now look. A humble person is more concerned about what is right than being right, about acting on good ideas rather than having the ideas, about recognizing the contribution rather than being recognized for making it. When we show how to be humble, people will be inspired to give their best efforts and to follow suit. You see that? When you show how to be humble, people will give their best efforts and to follow suit. You know, I told a little story in the last service about when I was a kid playing baseball. And you know, God makes us all. He's made us all different. And God will put things on people. But I remember when I was a little boy playing baseball, I didn't have anybody going to my games. I would go to the games and I'd have two different socks on and grass stains on my britches, you know, my pants you wear. And because I didn't have a mother at home taking care of all that. So I'd go and, you know, people would make fun. But there was a woman out there who'd always clap and always say, "All right, Freddie." And she was gorgeous. Yeah. I remember seeing her and thinking, "Oh my." And you know, and she would say something like, "Freddie, you did good today." I mean, I thought about that. And I remember I wanted to quit baseball at times because my dad wasn't there. I didn't have anybody helping me. Her little voice would go off. And her face, I remember her. You see that? But I was trying to do I remember out there pitching. I pitched a no-hitter and her watching. I thought, I'm gonna do my best. And I was wanting to do my best for her. Some of you mothers, when you go to your soccer game, those little boys are going to look at you and say, "Watch me." And they're out there doing their best because they want your attention. Are you hearing me? Am I making sense? I did basketball the same way. Coach Heidkamp, he had a wife. She was just knockout. You know what? I wasn't like weird. It's just like, but you all thinking I'm weird? But I was just like, I was going to do my best to impress her. And I remember playing baseball. We'd be walking home and my friends would go, "Oh, she didn't say your name today. She said mine. She was watching me." You see, they were all thinking the same thing I was thinking. You see what I mean? She's out there encouraging us, looking all, you know, beautiful. But even in my basketball, it's like I'm playing. And the coach's wife was out there encouraging me. And it's like I started playing. And then the next year, the coach didn't have anybody there watching. Different coach. I ended up quitting. Didn't have anybody there. Are you hearing me? Does that make sense? Some of you, God created you with leadership on you to look the way you look, to help other people. You're not here for yourself. You see, I don't care how you look, you're not here for yourself. We're here for other people. Now, when we show how to be humble, people will be inspired to give their best efforts and follow suit. By practicing humility, we show others that credibility matters enough to change our habits to align with principles. With principles. Enough to be vulnerable. Those who refuse to practice humility may think they are projecting strength, when in reality, they are exposing their weakness. Courage is more commonly understood as leadership virtue to model, but we often forget the foundation on which courage is based. Self-serving courage, standing up for yourself, can be appropriate, but that is not as powerful as service-oriented courage, standing up for others. I told a story about there was a gal when I was in high school. Her name was Teresa, and she was crippled. And she had an arm that was crippled, you know, and it always held out in front of her. And then her left arm, she carried her books. And then her one leg on this side was kind of twisted too, so she walked slow. So one day I was walking in the breezeway. I went to Wayne High School, so if some of you guys are watching. But I went there, and these guys knocked her books out of her hand, and I saw them, and I stopped them right in front of everybody, right in the middle of the breezeway. I said, I better not say what I said, but I told them, I said, if I ever catch you doing that again, I'm going to kick your blinkety blink out to Chambersburg Road. I said, you get every one of them books and pick them up right now and tell her you're sorry. And they scrambled around. Because you could see the fire. I was done. I was in a zone. It bothered me that bad. And you know what? I never seen it anymore. You hear me? I never saw it anymore. That was leadership on me. I know I may not have handled it right, but it was. Does that make sense? You don't put up with that. You always want to stand up for other people. Are you hearing me? Especially when they're being, right? Does this make sense? I saw her here about 10 years ago at Walmart. And she started crying when I saw her. Her name was Teresa. And she remembered me. And I got choked up too. But I'm telling you, people don't forget that. You know? And I'm not bragging, I'm just saying we need to be concerned with other people. And God wants you to stand up for others. Now look, another test is when nobody will know about it and you still do the right thing. To display such courage in doing the right thing is especially difficult. It's the highest manifestation of integrity. I believe that. In that moment, you're demonstrating something. Courage is a choice based on your values, while fear is a reaction based on your emotions. And that's what God is doing in a trust and inspired culture. He's cultivating. He wants you to learn how to respond to the way things are going. And when you're out there, when you're at work, when you're in school, when you're in your family, He wants you to respond and show that He's credible. That, I'm going to tell you something. This thing works. This thing of Christianity works. I've seen people say, well, I don't believe your Christianity. Turn their back on God. I'm going to tell you something. I've got more joy. I've got more peace and more contentment. Are you listening to me? Now than I've ever had. And I don't know about you, but I'm just here to tell you, this thing works. When you work this word and you get involved in His will, things start to work in your life. Are you listening to me? People will be inspired when you have the bravery and the fortitude to be humble. They will care less about your status and position when they learn about your humility. In the movie Braveheart, William Wallace said to the heir of the throne, Robert the Bruce, your title gives you claim to the throne of our country. But men don't follow titles. They follow courage and humility. I say amen to that. Are you with me? We don't follow titles, right? Now, Are we making sense? All right, go with me to James 4, 6 real quick. Talking about humility, being humble. But he gives more grace, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see that? Now, think about this. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It says that in 1 Peter chapter 5. See that? The word resist means to frustrate. When you're frustrated, it means your expectations haven't been met. When you are frustrated, it means your expectations have not been met. I'm telling you, I've seen people come in church, get saved, baptized, start to grow, and everything didn't happen like they expected. And they get frustrated and walk away. And then everything falls apart like a $2 suitcase. So, this word resist means frustrate. So when you're frustrated, it's because your expectations haven't been met. And see, when you're dependent on God, though, he gives you grace. He gives you grace to have more patience till you get to what you're longing for. Or he changes you. Sometimes he's going to change you. See that? That's why people don't like to depend on God, because sometimes he's trying to change you. He doesn't even change your circumstance. He's changing you and your response to your circumstance. And he gives you the power, the grace, to respond in a healthy way. God gives grace to the humble. Remember, the word humble means down to earth. It means real. It means real, the Hebrew. It means real. So when I'm humble, I'm being real. I'm going down to earth, and I'm dependent on God. You see that? I'm dependent on God. When I'm dependent on God, I'm going to my source. He's given me the truth about my circumstances and situation. He's helping me to become me. So I'm becoming real. How many of you like to be real? I like to be around real people. How about you? The word real also means authentic. So now I'm being humble. I'm going to God. I'm becoming authentic. Because I'm going to the author and the finisher of my faith. Hebrews chapter 12. You become authentic because you go to the author. He's the author of your life. You see that? When you go to the author of your life, now he's going to authorize you. And you're already authorized. He says he ordained you before you even showed up on the planet. The word ordained means authorized. So you become authentic because you went to the author, and now you're being authorized to be you. Oh, get me out of here. Just to be you. He's given you the authorization to be you. Oh, because you've been believing lies that aren't you. You've been trying to do something and trying to be something that you're not. You hear me? Authentic, author, authorized, authority. Now he gives you authority. That's why it says in James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for after he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life. You see this? Approved means pass the test. You will pass those tests, and God will give you grace. You see, when you're in a trial, God, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The word count means value. You see that? The key to being rich is knowing what counts. When you're in a trial, God's trying to show you what counts so you can be rich. Are you listening to me? And I'm not just talking about with three cars in the garage and a big house. I'm talking about rich with your emotions in a healthy place. I'm talking about rich in your identity, rich in your relationships, rich in your family. Does this make sense? Authority. He gives you the authority over what was controlling you and keeping you from what God was trying to get to you. You see it? That's what he does. He gives you authority. Now you have authority. It's not going to control you. You see that? It could be a peeve, a pet peeve. You ever hear people say, well, that's one of my pet peeves. Well, that's a problem. You made a pet out of your problem. You're letting your little problem keep you from what God has for you. You see that? So now, think about this. God gives grace to the humble. So he's going to show you what you need. And he's going to empower you with his grace when you're dependent on him. Making sense? All right, now, go with me to Proverbs 11:2. You glad you came to church today? When pride comes, then comes shame. See, that's arrogance, pride, and ego. That all produces shame. The word shame in the Hebrew means disgrace, it means dishonor, and it means confusion. That's what pride does. Ego and arrogance, it brings disgrace, dishonor, and confusion in your life. Are you catching this? So when I'm humble and I'm dependent on God, look what it is. But with the humble is what? Wisdom. That's the wisdom that God ordained before the foundations of the earth for your glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. God has a wisdom for you ordained for your glory. What God originated and intended your life to be will come out of that wisdom. When you're dependent on God, you get that wisdom. He imparts that wisdom in you, and now you become who God made you to be. Now look, then he says, Isaiah said in Isaiah 33, 6, wisdom and knowledge will be the strength and the stability of your times. We need God's wisdom. You see, that's why you want to be in a church where the word of God is declared over you, because it's his wisdom going out. And it's helping you impart something in your life that's going to help you in life. Now watch this. Give me Philippians chapter 2, if you would, Tim. Look what he says. Fulfill my joy. Now this is the Holy Spirit writing this. The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. So we fulfill God's joy when we're being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Get this. Being of like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. That means unity. That's why we need the church. Where there's unity, God commands the blessing. Now watch. Give me the next one. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That's pride. But in lowliness of mind, that's humility. But in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than himself. The word esteem means value. We need to begin to serve others in such a way. And when we serve others and value them before ourselves, God takes care of us. He brings the grace in your life that you need to take care of you. And you're helping someone else. You see, true humility doesn't think less of themselves when they are helping others become more of them, the highest version of themselves. I'm going to help people become a higher version of themselves, and I'm not going to feel less. I'm not going to be intimidated because I'm dependent on God. Is this making sense? I'm going to help someone become the best. And that's what we're all here to do, to help each other become their best. And when you do, you'll be like that little lady in the bleachers hollering people's name, and it'll come up on their mind, and they'll want to get here and be involved. Am I making sense? And hit a home run. Am I making sense?
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sidney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.